This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh, and you're listening to Pressing Matters, the show that goes behind the headlines, where we speak to members of the press on their stories. Joining me on the show today is Anne Shanmugam, specialist editor at the Star Media Group. Shan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joyce.
Well, Shan, you're a veteran business journalist, having been in the sector for over three decades. You started in Bernama, went on to Malaysian Business, that's the magazine. You've worked, I think, a big chunk of your career in The Edge.
Yeah, and then you joined, more than 12 years.
Yeah, more than 12 years. And then after that, you joined the Star Media Group, hitting the business section.
Yes.
Yeah, so in one of your recent articles, you wrote about how a senior executive at Khazanah was supposed to replace a CEO at a GLC. But that move didn't happen eventually because of the huge gap in salary structure between the two companies, because the senior executive at Khazanah was earning more than the CEO of the GLC. How did that happen?
Well, it all started back to the GLC transformation in 2005. It was started by the former Khazanah Managing Director, Tan Sri Azman Hashim.
Mm-hmm.
Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar.
Mokhtar.
Mm. And so he was riding on professional management, and he felt that, look, if you pay a CEO well, they will run the company well, they will be accountable, and they will not do what we call side deals and things like that,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was the basis. And it was all done by a consultant who put together a remuneration scheme for those in Khazanah.
Okay.
And I guess, like, but it was not well disclosed because, I mean, look, Khazanah is not a listed entity, as opposed to the listed entities under Khazanah, where you see how much the CEOs and all,
yes,
you know, it's disclosed, you know?
Yes.
That's how the whole thing came about, you see?
And there is a gap between Khazanah and what some of
their investors. Yeah, because like some of the non-Khazanah-led CEOs, they don't follow the scheme compensation structure that's what's been put in place in Khazanah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Khazanah is like the benchmark.
That's right. Yeah.
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 You know? Yes.
Well, how tough is it for some of the GLCs to, you know, balance the role of undertaking a business, but at the same time follow a mandate from the government? Because, like, for example, they are private, but the government policies drive compensation, drive hiring of management. How tough is that?
Actually, it's very difficult now. I guess that's the predicament that the government faces today, that they face today, you see. You have got CEOs who are supposed to run companies like the private sector, but at the same time, they cannot expect to be remunerated as much as the private sector. Well, given, yeah, it's true, there's some logic and also the consequences to it.
Mm.
Now, the logic behind the government is this. Look, most government-run companies, their success or whatever, you know, the government has got a role in it.
So basically,
you're not really, really competing like a private sector.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when you bid for a project or what, you know, sometimes there is a the GLCs compete among themselves, you know, finally, you know, and because of these GLCs, there's sometimes, you know, that's what the government feel.
Mm.
Their funding structure, you have got, like, as opposed to like a company that's completely private, to a company that's owned by Khazanah or EPF or what, a banker is more comfortable to lend to this company because, you know, the ultimate shareholder finally will, if anything goes wrong, they will step in.
That's right, yeah.
So they have got, in terms of funding structure itself, there's an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you don't compensate them well, there is no incentive for them to drive the company.
Mm.
So how much should they be compensated is something that I think is still being debated.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the Prime Minister had cut the salaries of minister, and some pointed out that they should not be paid as much because, you know, it's seen as like national service, right? Okay. But, you know, is that fair? Because how can this attract the right talent? And will that also open up, you know, the potential temptation to make ends meet through other ways such as kickbacks, side deals and all that?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, yes.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, they had in this place, you know, this place whereby they had a salary structure, a remuneration package where, you know, they are quite well compensated.
Yeah, that's for Khazana.
That's for Khazana and Khazana Link companies.
Only
Khazana, you know?
Yeah.
I can say, I think with some amount of certainty that the Glicks like in EPF and all, yeah, they don't follow the same compensation structure. But then the mandate is different as well. The mandate is different. You see, like Khazana, they wanted to take on the regional platform and they have got some successes like IHH, you've got Axiata, you've got CMB. These are all regional companies. So there is a different mandate as to how the Prime Minister is going to like
manage
yeah. this
fine line of how much to pay.
Yeah,
people.
I think he's very busy now. He really has got his hands full, you know. But he's a very, very capable and very smart guy. That much I can tell you. So he will find something, a solution.
Well, Sean, in one of your latest articles entitled "How Low Should GLC Executives Be Paid," did you manage to find out the answer for that?
No, not really. Actually, there were a lot of responses. There were some responses, you know, and yeah, everybody is saying, yes, we agree. Okay, if you want to pay us less, fine, it's okay. But how low is it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, then I think the good thing about the whole thing is, look, there's always a choice, an option. Look, this is what we can pay. And if you want to serve, then like some of them may stay, some of them may go, you know.
Yeah, management is very important. I mean, let's take a look at FGV, right? I think people who took on the role were entrusted with the livelihoods of all these Felda members. But look at what happened. I mean, bleeding financials, allegations of mismanagement. So, you know, when it comes to compensation, that is important. You know, what is too little, what is too much?
Very true, Joyce. You see, look, at the end of the day, a lot of these GLCs, they can only be run by professionals, you know, because it's ultimately owned by the government. And the government or the minister or whoever is responsible to look into these GLCs may not have the time to see what's happening.
Yeah. You might know? Be too big as well. The layers.
You know, now we see Tabung Haji, Felda, you know, and I'm sure there are a few more coming up, you know. Yes, you know, and the minister, they didn't have the time. So they depend on the management. And what's worse is, unfortunately, these GLCs, the board is also weak.
Okay. So it's important to have a strong board.
Yes. If you, I think you need a holistic solution to the whole thing. If you want to put a mediocre CEO or somebody who is prepared to come in for that kind of salary remuneration package, then you need a strong board.
Yeah, that's right.
You cannot have both.
Yeah. Well, there's also this argument that the Khazana type kind of compensation package is too high. There's some valid points to that. Please share with us your findings on that.
Yes, there is an argument because it is no longer national service kind of remuneration, you know, but it was done and styled after what a private sector CEO or an executive would get, you know, but slightly lower. So there are like three components to the remuneration package, if I'm not mistaken. There are three components, you know. So
it's based on deliveries as well, right?
Yes,
KPIs.
Two components are based on the deliveries. Only one component is your
fixed. So it depends on the results.
So it's measured. It's measured. You know, but certainly it's much better than what Khazana CEOs and executives used to be paid before. I'm talking about prior to 2004. 2005, when the GLC transformation took place, you know, certainly it was much better, and the Khazana then and the Khazana today is completely different.
Okay, and it should be merit based. Is merit based a bit more? I mean, but
the argument is this, you know. Okay, firstly, I must say this remuneration thing is very, very sensitive.
Okay,
it's very personal. Okay, And that's why they don't. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
However, you know, some people they will say, "Look, I left Khazanah and I'm earning three times more."
Mm.
And there are some who actually don't leave Khazanah because they're quite comfortable with what they're getting.
Yeah.
Although they may or may not get as much outside. So it's really a very sticky situation out there.
Well, I'm speaking to M. Shanmugam, Specialist Editor at the Star Media Group on Pressing Masters. When we come back, we'll discuss more stories coming out of corporate Malaysia. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, the show that goes behind the headlines where we speak to members of the press on their stories, and I'm Joyce Goh. Today, we're speaking to M. Shanmugam, Specialist Editor at the Star Media Group. Sean, earlier we were talking about how your article on how low should GLC executives be paid. You also recently wrote an article on new appointments suggest hidden hands at work. In that article, you noted that recent appointments to key government agencies suggest that individuals who are not in government but are viewed as having the ears of the PM or other ministers are likely influencing who goes where. What are you hearing on the ground with regards to this?
Well, there are recent appointments, some of it, what I'm told or rather what I hear is that, you know, it has not gone through the due process. That means the board did not have the liberty of going through a process of selecting the CEO. But it's got nothing to do with the CEO per se. You know, I'm not saying the CEO is bad or whatever.
But
no,
it's just the due process.
It's just the due process. It's just the due process, which there are some rumbles here and there. You know, they say, look, it's got nothing to do with the person, you know, but then the person is probably, you know, is perfectly qualified, you know.
Capable. But
it's just that we wish that, you know, we would be allowed to do the due process, you know. As you know, like in any boards, like most boards, you know, they would go through the list of candidates and then, you know, they would undertake an exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then they look at 2, 3, 4 and then instead of... And then there are cases where the existing CEO has been told to go. Yes, in some cases, really justified the existing CEO have to go because, you know, there's no way the person, he or she or whatever, should be staying there, you know, because they need to replace it with somebody else, you know.
Yeah, it should be merit-based as to what they can do.
But it's the process, actually. It's really so much merit. It's the process which they feel that, look, it's nothing to do with the person. It's the process.
In your article, you also point out some questions have been raised as to whether the PM and his ministers are really aware of some of the new appointments, you know. Is there a concern that a person or a particular group of people that do not have a formal position make such appointments because they're too influential, they still manage to push through these appointments? Is that a real concern?
There is some concern, you know. Like, we look, all, in the Prime Minister has done an excellent job so far, considering his age and the schedule that he keeps looks amazing, you know. And he's really busy, okay? So, I think he only had a hand in appointing, like, who is going to be the next CEO of Khazanah, MD, and things like that, you know, certain thing. But beyond that, he really has got no time. You know, he's got no time, you know. And we had the CEP who was looking at all these appointments, and the CEP has been disbanded. It's no longer there. But I believe there's a list of names that, you know,
on the chopping block?
No. They had looked at potential candidates. Not on chopping block.
Okay.
The list of, this list of new candidates, you know, I believe they had, you know, they had done some work there. They had interviewed people, new faces, new
fresh
people.
Fresh talent,
new talent, you know. So, based on that, then from there, you know, there are some appointments in government agencies that, you know, like, for instance, the case of as simple as Bernama, we have this ex-journalist Wan Hamidi, you know. He said he was approached and then it didn't happen.
Well, also, I think such questions resonate not only with government-linked bodies, but also with changes that are taking place in corporates. Some companies that have links to the capital markets and listed companies. How big a concern is this?
Well, the non-GLCs, You're talking about the companies that
are like corporate
outside
companies.
The ambit of the GLCs, corporates
and all. Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty okay.
But how about the corporate purge? Do you think that's okay? That's fair?
Corporate purge of GLCs, non-GLCs?
Like government-linked companies. Some companies that are listed seem to be linked to government. Okay. And some hits that have rolled because of perceived where they stand when it comes to politics, as opposed to looking at what they have done with regards to their report card. You know, like for example, Tan Sri Abdul Wahid is one name that comes to mind.
Okay, I guess, look, ultimately the shareholder is the government. And if you follow the process, look, the shareholder has every right to decide who he wants to put, he or she, you know, is to appoint, to head these GLCs or governments or corporates and things like that. Corporate bodies, you know. So if you go back to the basics of governance, where the shareholder has got a say, decides and all these things, so it's perfectly, there's nothing wrong
with that.
With wanting a clean deck.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong. It's only the process. Mm-hmm. I think some people are wondering, you know, whether you really need to do it this way.
Yeah.
Or you could have been more sympathetic, given them time to serve. I mean, look, at the end of the day, what everybody is asking is whether you could have been more sympathetic and given them time to serve their end of tenure. Uh-huh. Well, that one is entirely up to the shareholder to decide, you know, really, you know.
So you think it's fair? I mean, it's like a witch hunt, do you think? Or you think it's
I think the witch hunt has stopped.
Oh, you think witch hunt has stopped?
Yeah, there's no more witch hunt.
All right.
It's gone.
Okay.
Whatever changes taking place now is purely driven for strategic reasons.
Mm-hmm. And the corporate restructuring, if they're looking at...
The witch hunt was like the first few months. You know. Now, no.
But we still hear some names sometimes bandied around, oh, this person's going to have to go, you know, depending on which company, if the company is linked to the government, potentially they might have to leave. Could it be because of perceived association, or should they also look at deliverables?
No, I think it's... one is, okay, deliverable. But secondly, I think more importantly is the strategic position that the shareholder is taking, the view, you see, they have changed. Okay. Positioning has changed. Mm. Government should be out of business.
Ah, okay. So that's what they're going
to. Yeah, that's the overriding thing.
Well, that's all we have time for today. I'm speaking to M. Shanmugam, Specialist Editor at the Star Media Group on Pressing Matters. Shan has he has a column in the Star called The Alternative View, if you want to check that out. Thank you, Shan, for your time today.
Thank you, Joyce and Roshan. Thank you very much.
Coming up is the 10 a.m. News Bulletin, followed by Enterprise. I'm Joyce Goh, signing off for The Morning Run today, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.